Welcome to Rooting For You, a seasonal gardening podcast for non-experts. I'm Tess, and I know nothing.
And I'm Elise, and I know some things.
Each week, we'll chat about one gardening topic, and then discuss the effort-reward payoff by asking, is the juice worth the squeeze? Just a heads up, there might be a bit of swearing in this episode. You've been warned. Today's episode has been inspired by our recent conversation with Compostable Kate. Elise is going to take the leap and give hot composting another crack, after she accidentally did it once before. So in today's episode, we're going to talk about how to start hot composting step by step. Now, if you're looking for a more detailed chat about the science behind hot composting, go and check out our conversation with Compostable Kate, because she really is a fountain of knowledge. Admittedly, this topic might not be for beginner gardeners, but it's still a really cool process. So Elise, let's start with the headlining points. Briefly, why would you, with all of your composting systems already in place, want to start hot composting?
Good question. Two benefits appeal to me and would probably appeal to people listening. The first is we can compost a lot faster. Now, we're in winter at the moment. Spring is coming up. Spring is massive planting time, massive feeding of our soil time. So if we can get as much compost as humanly possible together for our spring planting, that's very appealing. If I started another compost pile today in winter, just the regular old way, I absolutely would not have that ready for when I do my spring planting.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first reason why come winter, this has actually become quite appealing to me, is because I want to speed some things up and get some more compost made so I'm ready for spring. The second benefit that I really like is by heating up the compost nice and hot, this is actually going to kill seeds in our compost bin.
Mm-hmm.
And I have all manner of seeds in my compost bin, as would you guys, right? You cook a pumpkin for dinner, you scoop out the seeds. You can actually roast the seeds. They're delicious. But if you put them in the compost, that's like 100 pumpkin plants potentially.
Capsicums, tomatoes.
Exactly.
A plethora of things that those sprouters could be.
Exactly. And then, you know, things like rocket that have gone to seed. There's so many things. And as much as these are great, right, this is all food that's potentially growing, it's often not growing where I want it. It's not growing at the time I want it. And we don't know what variety it is. So we don't know the kind of results we're going to get either.
And it could be sapping up all of the garden nutrients of the other things that you've put in.
Exactly. Exactly.
In the place where you want them when you want them.
Exactly. A weed is simply a plant where you don't want it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I often find with compost. I have said this before, is often when I compost, when I put the compost on the garden bed, I then mulch on top to stop any seeds coming up.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really good tip, but it would be just even better, frankly, if there was no seeds in there in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to give hot composting a go.
Fabulous.
The most important thing when you hot compost is the size. It needs a critical mass before it will heat up.
Okay.
Minimum size, a meter cubed.
And not everyone has a meter cubed.
Exactly.
Available to them.
If you don't have a meter cubed available to you, this is never going to work.
Yep.
Never going to happen. What does a meter cubed look like? For me, my compost bins are about a meter cubed. And I did that intentionally when I built them, even though I've actually never hot composted seeds. But theoretically, you can simply do this on a pile on the ground.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't have to be some fancy structure, a big enough pile. Or you can get some chicken wire and a few garden stakes and just rig up a really rough,
okay, cool,
like fence situation. And then once it's hot composted, just take it down.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen, you've gone to like a park and they've dumped a massive pile of mulch that they haven't spread yet and you can see it steaming?
I have not.
I have.
I have seen steaming compost before. I know that it gets hot, but I've not seen it rigged up in a park.
Not rigged up. I mean like they've literally just got a dump truck and like dumped it there,
right,
and ready to spread it out, but the landscaper hasn't come and spread it out yet.
Okay.
In winter especially, you could sometimes see that steaming. And that is, they're not intending for that to be a hot compost pile, but just because it's such a big mass of compostable material,
mm-hmm,
it turns into a hot compost. So the reason I bring that to your attention is basically the bigger it is, the easier you're going to achieve this.
Mm-hmm.
At least a meter cubed, if you can go bigger, go bigger. I think I will be aiming for a meter cubed.
Okay.
Like there's only so big we want to go.
Sure.
That's the essential part. However you get there is kind of up to you of how you contain it, but work it out. I've seen compost bays made of pallets, like old, you know, shipping pallets.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they kind of end up, if you put three of them together, you end up with kind of a meter cubed as well.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly, usually when we compost, we want to do this in the shade, right? Anything that involves worms, that kind of thing, we don't want them getting scorched in the sun. But for our hot compost, especially if we're doing it now in winter, we actually want to do it somewhere sunny.
Mm-hmm.
If you already have a compost bay and it's in the shade, do not go moving it around for this benefit. But if you're starting from scratch and you can rig up this chicken wire anywhere, then rig it up somewhere in the sun.
Okay.
That's going to help a little bit. Unlike regular composting, where we just do it as we go, chuck a little bit on here, chuck a little bit on there.
Yeah, each night after dinner you take out your food scraps. Yeah.
Super convenient. It's not how we hot compost.
Okay.
This is why I haven't done it before, right? Because it requires a bit of pre-planning. You've got to get all your materials ready. So your 1 meter cubed of compostable materials need to be good to go at the one time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for me, on a property as big as I am, I can muster this all in one day. I can go around with my buckets, scoop up all the alpaca shit, all the chicken shit, all the clippings and trimmings and autumn leaves that I can muster. Probably for the average person, this is going to take a bit of pre-planning and a bit of collecting in advance.
Even, I mean, if you're collecting a meter cubed worth of stuff, even you by yourself collecting all your chicken poo and your alpaca poo and your leaves, your fallen leaves, that sounds like
it's a big day.
A massive day.
I mean, hopefully I've got a helper. Hi, Mum.
So it could be done in one day, but we're going to suggest most people need some pre-planning.
I'm going to suggest most people it's going to need pre-planning. Yeah, yeah. The thing for me that makes it quite easy is all the straw I use with the chickens. That, like, is quite light and takes up quite a bit of space.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not too much of a pain. But if you take out the chicken straw, that is a lot of leaves and a lot of dry material, a lot of shredded paper.
Mm-hmm.
I also, as you know, deal with a lot of packaging in my job. So I have access to a lot of
cardboard, yeah,
paper packaging pods, like those corn kind of bubbly packaging pods mm-hmm. that people use.
Yeah.
That's another great option. But yeah. Again, most people aren't going to have access to the volume of it that I do.
Mm.
So you have to collect it. And, you know, this may take you a couple of weeks, which is fine, but just get on it.
And yeah, so I mean, that's going to be a factor when we start talking about squeezy juice later, but continue. So you've collected all your stuff. What are you actually collecting?
Yeah, good question. So we're going to collect our greens and our browns.
Mm-hmm.
And for anyone that is thinking, what is this? Go back and listen to our introduction to compost. But basic breakdown, our browns, which is our carbon element, is going to be things like straw, packaging from deliveries, paper towels, toilet paper rolls, shredded paper, including
fallen leaves.
Autumn leaves, absolutely. Mm-hmm. They're going to be a big one, which is actually makes it a pretty good time to get started with hot composting early-ish winter because there are still so many dry leaves around. Small twigs, your electricity bill, as Jess likes to say,
bills,
all
yeah.
your bills. Newspapers, if you're a newspaper reader, rip that up. That goes a long way. Yeah, I'd say that's about your browns.
Mm-hmm.
Your greens are going to be grass clippings, food scraps, including coffee grounds, tea bags, etc. Trimmings from garden plants. So if you're doing prunings, things like that this time of year, they can all go in. And animal manure.
Mm-hmm.
Not essential. Like nothing's essential as long as you've got some green and some brown. But animal manure does speed things up very nicely for hot composting. It actually creates a lot of heat.
Okay.
So if you can get your hands on animal manure, even if it means buying some, I would recommend using it here.
And when I know sometimes when we're looking at a worm farm, that you can be a little bit precious about what you put in it. For example, you don't put your citrus in it.
Yeah.
Is there anything precious about what you're collecting in terms of your greens here?
No, nothing precious.
Okay, get it all.
Everything, the whole kit and caboodle. And actually, if you do this right and you succeed, you should also be able to hot compost down meat scraps and things like that that you wouldn't necessarily usually put in your compost.
Right.
Because it's at that hot, that higher temperature, it's going to kill bacteria.
Okay.
So, good question, but no, nothing's off limits. And in fact, we can include more things than what we usually would. The thing is, though, you're going to need a lot more brown than you are green.
What kind of ratios are we talking about?
Well, Compostable Kate said 60% brown, 40% green.
Yep.
I have read higher proportions of brown than that.
Okay.
But, you know, the other thing is, like, how dry is your brown? I mean...
Yep. Yeah, has it just been rained on?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, there's so many factors that go into this. So I feel like I don't want you getting, you know, the scales out or something like that. Yeah. And, I mean, is this – I think my guess would be that's percentage via volume, not weight, because obviously autumn leaves are going to take up a lot of volume but not a lot of weight. But, look, basically it's going to be more brown than green.
Mm-hmm.
Same kind of mix as your compost generally. So
yep.
I would say you probably, if you've never composted before, I doubt that you're going to now launch in with a hot compost setup. So probably if you're wanting to take this on, you have composted somewhat before and you kind of have an idea of not letting it get too dry, not letting it get too wet. That's the same.
But the difference, as I'm imagining it, is that with the regular cold composting, you adjust as you go. Each time you go out to add something, you're like, oh, it looks a bit dry, better add some more wet or better give it a hose. But if you're – so you can't – as I understand with this process, you can't adjust as you go. So should we stick to the suggested ratios and just hope for the best at this
stage? Hope for the best. Stick to the suggested ratios, hope for the best. And look, maybe the first time it's not as perfect as it could be, it doesn't get as hot as it could be, and therefore doesn't compost down as fast. If this fails, right, and you don't create a hot compost system, sure, you haven't got the benefit of killing the seeds, but it's still going to compost down eventually. So you can't really stuff it up too badly.
Yeah, there's very few things that are actual fails in the composting world.
There will be no fail. And probably you might get an opportunity to add a few things and adjust it at some point, and you might actually get it back alive again.
Mm-hmm.
But for all intents and purposes, you kind of do want to nail it the first time. So collect all your stuff, keep it separate, because obviously if we start mixing it together before we begin this process, then we're actually beginning the composting process.
Mm-hmm.
So have your brown stuff separate. I don't mean you don't need to keep your newspaper and your autumn leaves separate. They can all go together because they're all brown. And then your green stuff, so, you know, animal manure, grass clippings, food scraps, etc., they can all go together at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that could get a bit gross, the green part, if it's all together for too long.
Yeah, it really could. And I'm just thinking, you know, for people who do have meat scraps, you're not going to be putting that together and leaving it out for weeks, as that would be...
No.
...go very badly very quickly.
Agreed.
So think about that. With your grass clippings and, you know, that's all fine altogether.
Yeah, and like any kind of garden pruning.
Yeah.
My guess would be, having not done this yet, but my guess would be it's food scraps are not going to make up the bulk of my meter cubed. The other thing with food scraps is you can obviously keep them in the fridge or the freezer until you want to begin this process. But my guess is if you like to cook or you like to eat, which most people do, you're not going to have a massive amount of fridge and freezer space to like load up with all your food scraps.
Yeah. Look, this is interesting.
Let's just get back to Compostable Kate and say, what do you do with your food scraps?
Yeah, while your hot compost.
Where you're collecting for this. But look, get it together, get your browns together, get your greens together, you're ready to go. On the day that you're going to do this, you rig up your structure or you're doing it on the ground, whatever. You want to mix your browns and greens together. Usually when we compost, people talk about a lasagna approach,
mm-hmm.
of like a layer of green, a layer of brown, et cetera, et cetera. When we're hot composting, we actually want this to be as hard and fast of a compost setup as possible. So actually mixing these things together is the way to get it happening the fastest.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not lasagnaing. We're cake battering.
Right.
Mixing it. How are you going to do that? Get a shovel, fold it through, or one of those corkscrew things that Kate was talking about.
Yep.
Looks like, it basically just looks like a meter tall corkscrew. I don't have one, but I have seen them and they're pretty cheap to buy. Put that in and it basically mixes it around.
So we pitchfork.
Exactly. Pitchfork. Yeah. Brilliant, brilliant option. Mix it all together. The other thing is, because we're going for the hard and fast approach, you can't do Elise's lazy composting of chucking in massive pieces. If you've pruned your fruit trees or you've got your big tomato that you've pulled out of the ground, you can't just chuck that in and think it's going to hot compost down. We do need to cut these bits up quite small.
Okay, you are absolutely not doing this all in one day. So there is no chance. This is a weekend activity.
Yeah, okay. It's a full weekender. Again, it depends how many helping hands you've got. Get the kids involved to do the cutting up because that's the shit job. The other trick I've heard, I've never done this, but put all your crap out, for want of a better term, and then run the lawnmower over it a few times.
Oh, yeah.
And that's going to cut everything down and make it kind of decompose faster.
Okay.
I know a lot of people do that. So if you've got a lawnmower, that could be quite handy.
Yep.
That would make it significantly faster. So you've got it all small. You've mixed it all up. You've got it in its 1 meter cubed situation. You're done. Tess is like, 4 weeks later. You will need to give it a water. It needs to be moist to get this all happening. I don't want it waterlogged like a drowned rat, but we want it to be quite moist.
Do you need to wet you mentioned packaging before. Do you need to wet that before it goes in?
No, I wouldn't wet it before.
Okay.
But I would definitely give it a good water now.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, it's going to be hard to make it waterlogged because if it's a pile off the ground, like any excess moisture is just going to drain out.
Yeah.
Unless you've got it in a pit or something. So unless you're doing it somewhere strange, I would say give it a good water. It'll take what it needs. It'll absorb what it needs and everything else will run out. Now, this is when you see if you've nailed it over the next couple of days. You got it. It should heat up pretty fast. Now, I don't want to put a time frame on it, but I'm going to say 3 or 4 days.
Okay.
5 or 6 days, a week. Go out and stick your finger in it.
Right.
It should actually be hot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're like, wow, it's like it's got a heater in it. Like, it's hot, almost to the point that it can be too hot to stick your finger in.
Proceed with caution on that one. Maybe just wave your hand around it to see if it's desperately hot before it goes sticky.
Yeah, we don't want anyone burning themselves or their hot compost, although I reckon it would be a badge of honour. My hot compost was so hot. You can actually make it too hot, but this is getting way too advanced, and frankly, I don't think any of us are at risk of that, of being too good.
On our first shot
of just making it too hot. In winter, especially because the outside air is so cold, if it is so hot that you may burn yourself on it, you'll actually see it steaming.
Okay.
Like,
don't stick your hand in something that's steaming.
If it's steaming, that's evidence enough that you've done well. Congratulations. What's important over once it does heat up is it stays moist. Now, for a compost bin in winter, I'm usually not concerned in the slightest about it drying out. But because this is so hot, it can actually lose a lot of moisture. Like if it's steaming, that's moisture
water,
leaving. So you do want to make sure it stays moist enough, and that may mean adding water to it.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we don't need to drown it, but we want it to stay nice and moist. Once it cools down, so it's going to, a few days it's going to get hot, and then a few days later it's actually going to cool down. Once it starts cooling down, it's kind of done its first cycle. Then what we're going to do is we're going to give it a turn. If you've got the corkscrew thing or the pitchfork or the shovel, give it a stir effectively.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, usually it's kind of more of a fold depending on the tool you're using. This will actually kickstart the microbes up again. So it'll kind of give it a second run at heating up. That'll happen for a few more days, a week, I don't know. And then after that, it'll cool down for good and it should be fully composted. That whole cycle will take about 3 weeks.
Wow, that's fast.
It is fast. It's very fast. And if you can get compost in 3 weeks in winter, that is pretty impressive.
How do you know by looking at it if you've nailed it?
Well, it will look like soil. It won't, right. It won't look like newspaper and straw yeah. and shit and banana peels. It'll look like, yeah, soil. That's obviously the top might still look a bit mank, but given you've given it that stir through, after the 3 weeks to a month, it should look pretty soily.
Okay.
At that point, you can add it to your compost bins. You can just leave it until you're ready to put it on your garden beds in spring. I know Kate talked about kind of letting it cure mm-hmm. for a little bit of time. Apparently you don't want to put it straight on your garden beds.
Yeah, because it's like too strong for you.
Too strong, yeah. So if I had space, although you probably won't because this is quite a big volume, adding it to your other compost could be a good way to go mm-hmm. to kind of just differentiate. Oh, but then if this is your seed-free magic compost, maybe it would be strategic to say, I'm going to keep this for...
Yeah. Can you cure it in situ?
As long as there aren't plants around, yes. Oh, you mean in the pile?
In the pile.
Oh,
like
yeah,
it's
yeah,
in
yeah.
it. So just leave it.
Yeah, just leave it there. Yeah,
so
yeah,
just
leave it.
It's had its 3 weeks and then you just leave it for... I mean, how long does the curing process take?
I don't know. I think it was like a month or something.
Yeah, so then a month later, that's when you do...
Yeah. And if you started that now and then cured it for a month, then you'd be just perfect timing for spring planting. Mm. So that sounds pretty good.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah, it really does. And look, maybe... You know, I really am trying to think of a way to kind of make this as like less a pain in the ass as possible. I suppose if you were doing a really big kind of garden haul, and frankly, Tess, in a garden your size, you're probably never going to do a big garden haul. But if you're doing all your pruning, collecting all your leaves, if you've got animals, if you're cleaning out all their straw, which, you know, we always do once every few months, if you kind of timed it at a time that you were doing a lot of like garden and maintenance jobs, you might end up with quite a kind of bulk of this stuff already.
Mm.
But yeah, the planning of it is the pain. But now I'm getting into squeezy juice.
Okay, let's go there. Squeezy
let's
juice
go
time.
There.
So the big question, is the juice worth the squeeze? This is where we look at the effort-reward ratio of today's topic. The categories are superstar, high effort, high reward. Completing this will make you feel like an absolute rock star. Best on ground, low effort, high reward. Quick wins and fill-ins, low effort, low reward. And finally, the wooden spoon, high effort, but not much reward.
Tess, tell me about the effort-reward ratio, as you see it, of the hot composting.
You go first because I don't want to break your heart at the end of it for me.
Look, I think I'm probably going to go wooden spoon, frankly.
Oh, that was going to go wooden spoon as well.
I think it's high effort and I think it's low reward, given that we can make compost without hot composting.
Mm.
Like we can make it without the effort. The one exception I will say here is if you are not on top of it, like if you're not nailing it and you've got no compost coming into spring, it might be worth doing a batch of this because you need to look after your soil and feed your soil.
If you were to turn around next weekend and say, I'm going to hot compost and you hot compost and then all by come spring you have a meter cubed of compost where you didn't before, you're a freaking superstar.
Yeah.
Yep. But for the rest of us, it's probably a wooden spoon.
I'd say it's a wooden spoon. If you've had some massive problem with seeds in your compost and this is just driving you mental and even mulching isn't fixing that, then maybe it's appealing. But and look, being out of compost your meat scraps, but I mean, who has that many meat scraps really? Like, because
well,
presumably
I think
you eat it.
I think for, I mean, you don't eat meat, so.
So I'm not the best candidate.
Yeah, you're not the best person to speak on this. Well, but we have meat scraps in our house, and I'd love to find a solution for them that's not landfill. Mm. So, you know, this could be it, but we're also, there's other options that we can explore there, and Bokashi is another one that we have spoken about, we spoke about with Compostable Kate. So, you know, don't do it for that reason, but it still is a benefit.
Yeah, it's still a benefit. Look, if you are a hot composter and you're listening to this, like, tell us, what are the benefits? Convince us otherwise.
Mm. I mean, you have been convinced otherwise because you're giving it a crack. So
I'm giving it a crack. And I'll tell you on another episode why I've decided to give it a crack, other than being totally fangirling of compostable cake. There is another reason, but we'll get to that. So, yeah, look, there's how you do it. Give it a crack. And, you know, if not, you'll just have a slow compost heap that you put a lot of effort into on one day.
You have said moist so many times in this episode. I reckon you would have triggered so many people.
Oh, God. Got anything else to say?
Rooting For You is hosted by Elise and Tess. You can find us on Instagram @rootingforyoupod or email rootingforyou@elisealexandra.com.